The ICAO will remain in Montreal. The Jetman cometh to Reno and repurposing historic Hangar 1. This is Aero News for Thursday, May 30th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. The ICAO will not be moving to Qatar. The Government of Canada and the ICAO have signed an agreement that will keep the headquarters of the International Civil Aviation Organization in Montreal until at least 2036. Both parties signed the new agreement on Monday. Canada, Quebec, and Montreal take the responsibility of hosting ICAO very seriously. In recent weeks, all three levels of government have listened carefully to ICAO members and are taking steps to offer enhanced service to the organization. Qatar had made an unsolicited bid to relocate the ICAO earlier this year, a bid that angered Canadian officials. According to the Montreal Gazette, the Canadian government will pay about 80% of the new lease, with Quebec chipping in $15 million Canadian dollars, for, quote, administrative cost of the ICAO premises devoted to the technical cooperation, end quote. The national government will also allocate $1.4 million Canadian for upgrades to conference facilities and security equipment prior to the body's scheduled fall assembly. Montreal has been home to the ICAO since its inception in 1947. The National Championship Air Races announced Wednesday that its longtime sponsor, Breitling, has significantly increased its sponsorship over the next 3 years and will also be bringing the world-famous Jetman to Reno this fall for a rare North American performance. Breitling, which last year opened up its third retail store in the country in Las Vegas, has also committed to including the air races in its worldwide marketing efforts, helping to gain exposure for the air races and Northern Nevada. This is the largest sponsorship commitment in the Reno Air Race's 49-year history. 2013 marks the event's 50th race, and a full spectacle of entertainment and excitement is planned at the Reno Stead Airport September 11th through the 15th. The theme for this year's event, Mavericks in the Sky, highlights the progress and diversity of the sport, from the sheer speed required to compete in the races to the precision technique of the breathtaking aerial stunts and the evolution of aeronautics over the past 50 years. In addition to six classes of some of the most experienced and talented racers flying in the world's fastest motorsport, this year attendees can expect thrilling entertainment, including the L-39 Patriots jet team, the Breitling Jetman, and a variety of individual air performances from some of today's most talented aerial stunt pilots. The Reno Air Racing Association is also working to secure vintage Warbirds to pay homage to the servicemen and women of the United States Armed Forces. The 50th Annual National Championship Air Races is the world's premier air racing event. The races kick off Wednesday, September 11th, and will continue through Sunday, September 15th, at the Reno Stead Airport. The U.S. General Services Administration, on behalf of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, has issued a request for proposals to solicit lease proposals for the rehabilitation and adaptive reuse of NASA's historic Hangar 1, located at Moffett Federal Airfield in the NASA Ames Research Center at Moffett Field, California. Hangar 1's footprint is approximately 8 acres, with exterior dimensions of 1,140 feet long by 308 feet wide. It has approximately 350,000 square feet under the steel structure. Due to contamination-caused deterioration from the original siding, the Navy removed but did not replace the metal siding, leaving exposed the steel frame structure and coating it with epoxy. NASA has not been provided the necessary funds to install new siding in order to protect the exposed steel frame from the elements. Hangar 1 was conceived and constructed from 1931 through 33 to support the U.S. Navy's lighter-than-air reconnaissance program following World War I. The hangar was built for the 6,500,000-cubic-foot dirigible, the USS Macon. However, in 1935, the USS Macon crashed off the coast of California due to a storm during a training mission. This accident, along with the crash of its sister ship, the USS Akron, effectively ended the lighter-than-air program. The RFP process is seeking a tenant to operate, manage, and maintain the station to support ongoing government needs. The prospective tenant may act as a fixed-base operator to to allow additional private airfield-related uses. The state of New Jersey has filed suit against a gas station group for knowingly selling leaded avgas to consumers who thought they were filling their cars with ordinary unleaded motor fuel. Between December 6th and December 8th of last year, the six gas stations allegedly advertised the avgas to consumers as unleaded regular, plus, or premium motor fuel. The state alleges that consumers unknowingly purchased the avgas and faced a potential risk of serious problems with their vehicles. Such conduct allegedly constitutes multiple violations of New Jersey's Consumer Fraud Act, Motor Fuels Act, Weights and Measures Act, Motor Fuels Regulations, and Advertising Regulations, as well as the Federal Clean Air Act. The suit, filed by the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs and its Office of Weights and Measures, names six Pamsil Property Incorporated-owned gas stations, their parent company, plus Brooklyn-based Zephyr Oil, a fuel distributor, and Pittsgrove-based Lee Transport, a fuel transporter. The wreckage of a Piper PA-34 that had been operating as an Angel flight on Friday when it went down in upstate New York has been raised from the pond in which it became submerged. Authorities are still searching for the body of Frank Amorosa of Utica, New York, who was being flown home from Boston following treatment for brain cancer. The remains of his wife Evelyn and pilot John Campbell were recovered over the weekend. The Associated Press reports that, according to Fulton County, New York Sheriff Thomas Lurie, the search for Mr. Amorosa will be narrowed to the area surrounding the pond, which will be drained as part of the search. Some wreckage from the airplane has been located as much as 5 miles from the accident scene. NTSB spokesman Eric Weiss said that the pilot did not declare an emergency or make any indication that anything was wrong with the airplane before it went down. When Aero News continues, a snake hunter finds gold in the Everglades. The Commodores are number one, and driving this daisy.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, May 30th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A snake hunter has found gold in the Everglades, but it may not be what you think. Mark Rubenstein of Coral Springs, Florida, found a piece of antique gold jewelry while searching the swamp in February for Burmese pythons, a large snake that has become an invasive species in the Florida Everglades. Television station WTVJ reports that Rubenstein was searching in an area where two airliners have gone down in the past 41 years, Eastern Airlines Flight 401 in 1972 and ValueJet Flight 592 in 1996. The pendant is described as being antique gold studded with diamonds and sapphires. Rubenstein said he caught, quote, a glint in the late day sun, end quote, as he was out python hunting. The gold is thought to be from the 18th century, but its estimated market value is only about $150. The pendant is melted on one side, which would be consistent with the scenarios of either accident. Rubenstein put the pendant in the hands of a South Florida jeweler, who in turn placed photos of the piece online, and he has received an inquiry from someone who may know a surviving member of a passenger who owned the piece and was on board the ValueJet plane when it went down. Rubenstein said he hopes that he's able to return the piece to someone that could help bring some closure from the accident. While the Vanderbilt University Commodores are hoping to win a berth in the College Baseball World Series, another Vandy team has already earned top honors in its field. The Aerospace Club of Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, took first prize in the 2013 annual NASA Student Launch Projects Challenge, in which student teams design, build, and fly small rockets with science payloads to an altitude of 1 mile and return them safely to Earth. After two consecutive third-place finishes, Vanderbilt beat 35 other colleges and universities to win the $5,000 top prize, provided by ATK Aerospace Group of Promontory, Utah. The University of Louisville in Kentucky and Tarleton State University in Stephenville, Texas, won second and third place respectively in the Launch Fest at Bragg Farms in Tony, Alabama, near NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville. The challenge seeks to inspire younger students to pursue technical learning fields, including science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Well, you may have heard about the 24 Hours of Le Mans road race, but there is a lesser-known parody of the endurance contest called the 24 Hours of Lemons, which features cars that are supposed to cost under $500. This year's race drew an entry that was cobbled together from the remains of a 1957 Cessna 310 by Maryland police officer Jeff Block. Block's Aero car is street legal with turn signals, headlights, brake lights, and such. Mashable reports that Block won the award for the car that, quote, has no business being on the racetrack and yet is really cool and comes out there and does its very best anyway, end quote. He reportedly plans to enter it in other races and then drive it across country with his brother. So don't be completely surprised if you see a Cessna 310 fuselage tooling down the road and know that only under extreme and probably very bad circumstances would it ever be leaving the ground again under its own power. No doubt Block's efforts have given a whole new meaning to the term roadable aircraft. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.